Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Charlie. If I haven't met you yet, thank you for joining us this morning. Online as well, we love you. You're still part of our family, even if you're not physically in the room, or podcast listeners as well. Just remember, church, what we do here in this room, I think sometimes we can become so familiar with it and so used of, you know, the ins and outs of our services each week. But just know that there's people that around the world tune in and listen to our podcast, not just in our city, but what goes out of this house is actually bigger than what we always see within our room. Our room is amazing. You guys are here. You're physically with us. So thank you for that. But just remember to think beyond as well. Yeah, our church is not just what's contained within these four walls. In saying that, our beautiful kids ministry is happening right now. They're encountering the presence of God as well, just as we are. So let's just remember to always be aware of the bigness and the impact. And again, if you want to look at, we've got our global impact map up the back there as well, which are the things that we're giving into as a church family. So just wanted to remind you of that, and also just not become familiar with him. Because we can talk about being familiar with church, we can talk about being familiar with, you know, our team and our pastors and what we've got, but don't become familiar with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, it talks about in Revelation when he talks about going back to your first love. Yeah, you've done all of these things, but you've forgotten. You've done all these great things for the kingdom, you know, this church. You've accomplished all these things, but do you remember your first love? And I think sometimes we can get like that, right? We can get caught in the daily and the motions and the, you know, the routine. You get up, you go to work, you've got your family, you've got your commitments, you've got your responsibilities. But just to remember him, not to get familiar with who he is, the power of who he is, what he is able to. He is, you know, all powerful, all knowing, all amazing. He is healer, he is provider, he is all of these things which we have access to every moment of every day. It's not just in this room, it's not just when we're gathered together. So again, just, yeah, remember the goodness of who he is in Jesus' name. So in church, if you haven't been with us for the last couple of Sundays, that's okay. Oh, Cynthia, you're amazing. You can sit down. Let's love Cynthia. She's so great. So great. So if you haven't been with us for the last couple of Sundays, we've been going through the spiritual gifts within the church, and we've done a test of what we think we fit into in terms of spiritual giftings. Pastor Benaiah did the words gifts last week and looked through what they mean, how you can apply them. And this morning I have the privilege of doing our practical, a little bit more practical people in the house, going through those gifts. But then I kind of want to maybe put a spin on it at the end, and we're going to maybe just do something a little bit different, which I hope you're okay with. So we're talking about our spiritual gifts, and I just wanted to, because we talk about, and it says it in the Word, that our spiritual gifts that we receive are for the building up of the church. Yeah? So it's not just for you to hold on to and be selfish with and be like, oh, well, this is my gift and I'm just going to use it for myself. The reason which the Father pours out his blessings and his giftings on us is for the purpose of building up the church, but also that we start to think a little bit outward as well into our community. Yes, it's for building up the church, but we should also be using our spiritual giftings in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities. It's not just limited to the building of the church. If it is, that's a very inward focused way of looking at what God's given you, yeah? You should be able to use this to see revival and to see the Holy Spirit presence touch every area of your life, yeah? So, and some of these practical gifts, I've already had a couple of conversations with people who maybe got these in their test and they're like, oh, like they're not like, I mean, not that they're not the fun ones, but like, you know, it's not the prophecy or the interpretation of tongues. Like they're a little bit more, I don't know, ones that you might go, oh, that's exciting. But I hope that by the end of this, you will think that these are just as exciting and just as important when it comes to the body of Christ and what you bring and add to that. Cool? All right. So the first one is administration. Oh, come on, all my organized people in the house. It is. So the gift of administration is the divine strength or ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish these tasks. Who here is an organized person? Yes, I am. I can't go to bed without my kitchen clean. I love structure and organization. And I love that this is a spiritual gift. And also, it's like the kingdom is not one of chaos, yeah? The kingdom of God is not a chaotic kingdom. It is one of organization, yeah? And it says this in Luke 14:28. So it says, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' All of our administration people, you are the ones that sit down. You think out, you plan, you structure. This is a God gift, yeah? When God created the world, he was not flippant. He was not disorganized with it. He knew what he was doing. And so for this, I love this example. When you're going to go out and do something for the kingdom of God, when you're going to go out and build something, there is wisdom in stopping and preparing. There is wisdom in not running loose and going, whatever, let's just see what happens. Because then people will ridicule and say, look what this person tried to do and it came to nothing. So all of our administration people, all of our organized people in the room, we thank the Lord for you because you are the one that bring that wisdom, that bring that organization and that bring that structure. So some practical ways, if you are an admin person, join the admin team. Some of these are like so obvious, but I don't know. Maybe you didn't know we had an admin team. So we have an admin team here at church on a Sunday. They help look after roles and finances and things like that within the church. So if you want to volunteer for that, you can do that. Also, maybe our events team as well. You can join our events team. So because it says that you have the ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people. So our wonderful events team look after our Sunday services, but they also can look after things throughout the week, young adults events and things like that. If you feel like you've got the gift of administration, join our events team. Yeah? The other way that you can maybe put this into practice is to help organize your connects and your connect reports. So if you're in a connect and you feel like you have this gift, maybe your connect leader might be a little bit of a muddle-headed wombat and, you know, loses things and doesn't know what they're doing, and I don't know who that would be. But maybe if you're in that connect and you feel like you've got that gift of administration, ask your connect leader how you can help. Ask how you can help organize things and also maybe reporting and things like that. Okay? It is good. Next one is giving. So good. If you have the gift of giving, it is the divine strength, and this is really interesting, and I actually really love this, the divine strength or ability to produce wealth and give by tithes and offerings for the purpose of advancing the kingdom. And there's some verses there, but I'm going to use a different one to highlight this. So Proverbs 11:24-25, and I'm reading the Passion translation. It's just a little bit of an adapted version. And it says, generosity brings prosperity, but withholding from charity brings poverty. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them, and the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. How good is that? I just really loved that translation. So the spiritual gift of giving, and I just want to say something. You know, it talks in the Bible about not having two masters, not serving both money and Jesus. I don't think money is evil. I don't think that money is from the devil. I think that it is a resource that we can use. And I love that this says that it's the strength, divine strength through ability to produce wealth. I believe that there are people in the world that are gifted with that ability to produce wealth, to produce above and beyond, to not just get by, to not just maintain, but actually to have a surplus for the purpose of being blessed to be a blessing. Yeah? I believe that when you serve Jesus and He is your number one, you are not serving money as a master just because you're making money. Okay? And I think sometimes in the church there's been a bit of confusion around this. Like, you know, money is evil and, you know, we can't be rich as Christians because that's confusing to the world. I actually disagree with that. I think that some people actually are called and graced to have this spiritual gift of being able to have an abundance to be able to give out of. And I think that's a God thing. And I think that as well, I love this verse because it talks about generosity brings prosperity, but withholding brings poverty. The power in this spiritual gift of giving is the actual releasing. It's the giving. There's no point in you being a millionaire and then dying a millionaire and you've done nothing with it. The power is when you start to release it and when you start to sow into other people's life. If you hold on to it, it says that it just brings more poverty. But as you begin to release all of our givers in the house, it says that more blessing will come to you. What's the actual thing so I don't get confused? Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. The one who pours out his life to pour out blessing will be saturated with favor. So all of our spiritual gifting givers in the house, give, release. Don't feel bad about it. I think sometimes we have this mentality of, oh, you know, I have to be careful with my money. And you do. Obviously, there's wisdom in it. But if you have this as one of your spiritual giftings, feel released to actually give, to actually sow in, to actually see this whole idea of, releasing the blessing so that you can be saturated with favor. So, and I actually, I'll just tell the practicals. So the practical is actually give. Don't just sit there and be like, I have the spiritual gift of giving, and then you never give a tithe, you never give an offering. You're the stingiest person when it comes to, I don't know, going out for dinners and coffees with people. Like, if you have the spiritual gift of giving, actually activate it and give. So simple. Release it. In our weekly offerings, which is what we just did, we have a miracle offering coming up. We do that every year where it's like our above and beyond. Give to that. Give to charities. The other thing that you could practically do is disciple and mentor people that have the gift of giving. I don't think within the church there is enough, I've got to be careful. I'll be honest. I don't think in the church there is enough healthy examples of what it means to be financially wealthy within the kingdom and giving out of that wealth. I think that there's so often been this tainted money is bad. But if you feel like this is you, if you feel like you do have this grace and this gifting of being able to generate wealth to give, disciple people in that. Our young people need to know how to manage their money well, how to manage their money with a kingdom mindset. Don't feel bad about that. So mentor people, get people alongside you. We have a business network here at our church when we periodically will do business breakfast for people that feel like they have that entrepreneurial spirit, they have that business mind. If that's you in this room and you've never been to one of them, come along. Come along and disciple and mentor some of our young entrepreneurs and business people to think about that in the way of kingdom, to think about that in the way of the way that God actually intended it to be. The other thing is pray for wisdom to know who is in need to give to. And this is really cool because if you have this spiritual gift of giving and you have this spiritual ability to generate wealth, to be able to bless others, use it almost like a, what's that show where it's like the business person goes, Home and Away. No, not Shark Tank. When it's the millionaire and they go into like undercover boss, I don't know. But you could use this actually as a really cool way. So there's this show, if you've seen it, Undercover Millionaire or whatever, and they are a business person, CEO, have millions, but then they dress up as somebody with like in a lower socioeconomic status and they go into different areas and meet the people that are on the ground, you know, doing the hard work in orphanages or soup kitchens or things like that. And then they give like their money away, which is really cool to see. But if you are this person who has the gift of, you know, the spiritual gift of giving, why don't you almost partner with the Holy Spirit like that? Like a little bit of like a sneaky, like, talk to me about who is in need. Talk to me about who I can bless. Because this can be small things. This can be like, you know, you're, I don't know, driving through Maccas. If anyone has Maccas, or you guys probably always do. Can't remember the last time. Anyway, and you're like, oh, I just feel like I need to pay for the car behind me. You just get that little sense, do you know what? And you say to the person at the checkout, I'm going to also pay for that car behind me. And that's the way that you bless them. Or there's other stories of, and we've heard them from, I think Chris Valaton was one of them, one of the pastors in Bethel. And randomly people would come up to him and say, I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to give you this business. Or I feel like the Holy Spirit told me to give you this house or this block of land or pay off your car loan. Or, and how cool, and this is the stuff that gets me like so excited. If you are this person who has this spiritual gift of giving, why don't you partner with the Holy Spirit to actually do the crazy, the impossible? Holy Spirit, tell me who actually needs a car. Maybe in this room, someone might drop into your heart and go, oh, I've been told to give you $1,000. And it was exactly what that person was praying for the breakthrough that they needed to pay for whatever. This is really cool because you can be like the, whether you're a millionaire or not, you can partner with the Holy Spirit to be like a secret millionaire to provide the answer to other people's prayers. And I would love to do this one day. Benar and I have talked about this. We would love to be in a position one day when we can buy people houses, cars, where we can bless people above and beyond because we've been blessed. So I'm excited about that. The next one is our helps. Yay! Silence fills the room. So the helps is the divine strength or ability to support, or sorry, to work in a supportive role for the accomplishment of tasks in Christian ministry with the ability to often see the need before others do. Very good. And it says in Romans 16, verse 1 and 2, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and for myself as well. How amazing to be known as somebody who helps people. And this is what Phoebe is in Romans. She is somebody who often they would identify what they're known for, what their, you know, what their role is in the church. And she's been identified as a helper. And some of you might think, oh, this is such like a nothing position. But can I just tell you that our helps people, you have the amazing ability to see the need before other people do. And often in that, you are the first point of call. You are the first responder. You are the first one that encounters people where they're at to say, look, I can see your need. I can see where you're at. Let me minister the heart of Jesus to you. If you're one of these people, don't ever underplay and undervalue the ministry of being a helper, the power of being a helper, Because it is. It's the ability to see the need before others do. You have that spiritual insight. And yes, it's a very practical gift. It is a very outworking with your hands gift. But really, it's also quite supernatural because you have that spiritual insight to see something that other people might not see. And it might be physically in a service. It might be individually with a person. And so for you to be the one that is the first responder to be there, to offer Jesus, to offer his hands and his feet, I think is amazing. And I wanted to just give you a couple of testimonies about this. Bernard and I, we had the amazing privilege of going around and traveling for a couple of months. This was just before we took on the church. And we always wanted to do this. We had been offered the church from his parents. We thought, look, we're going to take some time. We want to get out of the area and just pray about it and see, you know, what the Lord has for us. And during that time, we went and we visited so many different churches in Europe and America. And I remember, I mean, we weren't pastors yet, but being married to a pastor, you know, when you're in a service, you're quite switched on all the time. You know, you're the one that's looking at, you know, whether the words for the songs are correct or, you know, whether the mic sounds weird or, you know, you're quite aware of what's going on in the service. But during this time, we had the amazing ability to just sit and be and receive. And I remember these two times, which were quite significant. When we were visiting some churches in America, the first one was we went to this church and I can't even remember where it was, but I remember this lady, she was at the door and she was just a host. Yeah, she was the one that was just welcoming everybody. And, oh, come on, host team. And we walked in, you know, young Aussies, and she was there. She was this beautiful African-American lady, so jolly, so just warm. And she was there and she's like, welcome to church this morning. And then she just hugged me. And I remember in the moment I was like, like, you know how you just encounter love? And she was just doing her job. She was just rostered on for that service. And I remember walking away and you do the awkward like, oh yeah, hi, don't look at my eyes, like don't let me, like, and we walked away. I don't know whether Pastor Benai remembers this, but, and I was like, oh, just that warm embrace, just that love, just that smile. And this is someone who's growing up in church her whole life, who's married to a pastor who, you know, was just offered a church. You wouldn't think that that would impact me so much, but it did. Because she didn't know our story. She didn't know what we were processing. She didn't know, you know, what our journey was. But the fact that she welcomed, loved and embraced with the affection of Jesus. And like the moment where she hugged me, if ever you have this, when someone hugs you, sometimes you're like, I'm fine. Just don't ask me if I'm okay or just don't hug me. But then the moment that you do, it's like all your walls come down and you're like, no, I'm not okay. Anyway, it was like one of those moments where we were just walking into church, but just that embrace was so full of Jesus that it totally disarmed me. So hosters, we love you. The power of what you do in our church, don't ever underestimate. The other one that was really significant for me was we went to this other church and we were in, we were somewhere down south and it was this huge Baptist church. It was amazing because I think Bernard and I were the youngest people there. And you looked out and it was just a sea of grey hair. It was just beautiful. And everyone was just worshipping Jesus and it was so lovely. But I remember we were sitting there and Bernard and I were sitting kind of up the back. And I remember watching and the hosters were these beautiful elderly people that were just serving their heart out for Jesus. And I remember we sat there and we were watching them. And they were shuffling around and handing out the programs and the song services. And then they walked around and they were doing the offering baskets. And they would have been, gosh, some of them probably would have been, I don't know, in the 80s. And the heart that they had to serve Jesus. I remember sitting there and got teary. I think you might have as well. We were both just like, that's what church is about. That's what kingdom is about. Not about your age, not about, you know, your demographic, not about anything like that, but if you love the house of God, you can serve, you can do it with his heart, and it actually really impacts. So our helpers and our hosters, do not underestimate the power especially because a lot of the times you are the first people that people encounter when they walk on the door, walk on our property, walk through the door. It's an amazing, amazing ministry. So practically, join our host team. If anybody, you can go and have a chat to Noah afterwards, down the front, repping the host team. Join the host team, but also join any team. Join any team. If you feel like you've got that gift of helps, join the, oh, production. Look, we've got, yeah, arms up, raising, yeah. Production helpers, kids workers, you know, cafe department. We have so many departments in church that need you guys to be that smile, to be that warm embrace, to be that welcoming Jesus hug for people that work on our, walk onto our property. The next one is our hospitality team. Well, not just team, but just hospitality, in Jesus' name. Okay, so this is the divine strength or ability to create warm, welcoming environments for others in places such as your home, office, or church. And this is really cool. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 2, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." How cool is that verse? Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without even knowing it. To those of you who have the gift of hospitality, and like it says, it might be in your home, might be at your office, your church, but you have an ability to just create a warm, welcoming, relaxed space. That spiritual gifting has such power in it that, number one, you can be entertaining angels without knowing it. But also, the people that have the gift of hospitality, you have an ability to disarm people. Yeah? You have this beautiful embrace, this beautiful warmth, this beautiful, I guess, Father's love for other people, whether it's in your home or your office or in church, where you just make people feel comfortable. And we all know people like this, right? We all know people where it's like you're just around them and you're like, oh, I feel like I've known you forever. And I just feel comfortable with you. I feel like I can tell you everything and you just would sit and listen and love me. That is so powerful. It's so powerful because in a world where there is so much noise, there is so much chaos, there is so much information, to have these people with the gift of hospitality that just create that warm embrace, that warm moment where people can just come and be ministered to by the heart of God is so powerful. It's so powerful. And so practically, what do you do with that? If you do have that gift, join our hospitality team. So our amazing hospitality team, they serve coffees before the service. They serve lunch and coffee after the service. Join our team. Join their team. The other thing you could do is join the host team because that's creating a safe space in our church as well. Invite people over to your house for a meal. Do that. If you feel like that you've got that gift of hospitality, invite people over. The other thing is actually start a connect or a community connect in your home. If you've got that ability to create a warm space, welcoming environment for other people, start a connect. Invite people into that space. If that's what you feel like your heart is, hospitality, it's a really powerful ministry. In Jesus' name. And our last one is service. And this is where my little twist comes. All right, so service is the gift of serving is the divine strength or ability to do small or great tasks in working for the overall good of the body of Christ. Now, I believe that this is everybody. I think some of you would have scored more highly on it, maybe because you are more leaning towards this. But I think the spiritual gift of service is every single person that calls themselves a son or a daughter. And I'll tell you the reason why. So I'll just say in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. I think that as Christians, we are all called to serve. And I love that it says the divine strength or ability to do small or great tasks for the overall good of the body of Christ. I think every single Christian is called to do small or great tasks for the benefit of the body of Christ. I don't think any of us are called to come, sit, receive and sit on our hands. Maybe for a season, maybe for getting healthy, maybe, you know, if you've been through a tough season, 100%. But in entirety, I think all of us have, and we should have, that heart to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, people within the church, to serve our community, to be the ones that are his hands and his feet, to be the first responders to those that are in need, but also in serving him. Yeah? And Jesus was our greatest servant of all. And in Mark 10:45, it said, the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve. So the reason why I say this is all of us is because if it's Jesus, then it's all of us. He is our great example. He is the one who said, you know, I came to lay down my life. The greatest act of service that anyone has ever done, to give himself up. And we are called to be like Christ. Christians are Christ-like, yeah? So if that was his example, if he is my role model, then I am called to serve and I am called to lay down my life and I am called to be that one that serves. I love that they wanted to make Jesus king, but he knew that that wasn't his goal. He knew that that wasn't what he sent. They said that to him, let's make you king, Jesus. And he knew, my goal here is to serve, it's to lay down my life. And instead of being made king, he ministered to people, he washed people's feet, he hung out with people that were seen as unclean, and then ultimately laid down his life. This is the call of every Christian. We need to not have false humility when it comes to the confidence of who you are. It's not that, because we talk about this whole thing of, are you a son or a daughter or are you a slave? Slave and servant, I think it's different. We're not called to be slaves. We're not called to have low mindsets of ourselves and think that, oh, you know, I'm no good. I'm not worthy of anything. I just have to serve and, you know, be a peasant on the ground to work my way into the kingdom. It's not that. But it's actually when you know your authority as a son and a daughter, when you know your calling and your confidence in him, it's actually easy to lay down your life. It's actually easy to become a servant, to say, do you know what? I lay down my life, Jesus. My life is not my own. It's yours. And it's not that I think low of myself. It's not that I don't understand who I am. But you're taking up a higher place of what Jesus did. Does that make sense? So, how do you do this practically? Join a department in church, serve anywhere. Like, very easy. Just serve. Give something. Give something back. Like I said, there will be seasons, and 100% here at Celebration Church, we know that. You know, some people have gone through things in their life, and for a season, they need to just come and sit in church and receive. That's okay. It's not just straight away you need to, you know, jump in all guns blazing. Like, it's okay for a season to just sit. But if you start to then call this place home, give something back. Be part of the family. Be part of the team. Join a team. Contribute. Give. Because what you've got on your life is of greater value than you just to hold it to yourself. People within our church, people within our community need what's on your life. They can benefit from what's on your life. Don't ever underestimate and think, oh, it doesn't matter what I do. It actually does. You've all got something to give. You've all got something to contribute. So do that. The other thing is, ask your Connects leader how you can help. If you're not doing that, ask how they can help. The other thing is, just really simply, every Christian should do this. Wake up every day and surrender your life to Him. Practically, we are called to live a life that is laying down our life for the sake of Jesus. When I took up the banner of being a Christian, when I took up a banner of being a daughter of God, I have said, it's no longer about me, it's about you. And so every day of my life is laying down to be a servant to the King of Kings, to say I'm sacrificing my needs, my wants, my desires, everything for the sake of your glory, King Jesus. And in that, I'm not actually losing out, I'm gaining. Because a lot of ways people think that, like, oh, if I, you know, lay down my life, you know, I'm not going to get what I want. It doesn't work like that. It's actually, you get more than doing it on your own. You get more and above than what you would normally. So if you are in this place and you call yourself a son or a daughter and you are not doing this, switch it up. And I think that sometimes we need to refresh and refocus, because I think naturally humans can be quite selfish and self-focused and consumed with our days. But to refocus that actually your calling is to lay down your life. Your calling is to lay down your life for Him, for others, that idea of serving. And it's not an easy thing to talk about. It's not like a, what's the word? Like a, sometimes, not like a feel good way of talking about it, right? Because we all want what we want. But actually, the benefit of becoming like Jesus is better than anything that you would ever gain on your own anyway. So to lay down your life for His sake, gosh, that cost me nothing, because I gain everything, because I get Him. And I think for us as a church, some of us need to reshift our focus when it comes to, or serving is just for those people. Yeah? The spiritual gift of serving, that's just for them. It's actually all of our call, I believe. We're called to be like Jesus, and He was the greatest, absolutely greatest servant of all. So, what we're going to do is I just want to go into just another time of worship, if that's okay. And that first, not the first song, the second song that we sang, I'll get the band to come up, welcome you guys back up, that's fine. But that whole idea of we need re-surrender, we need re-surrender, and I think the church needs that, not just our church, but I think the Western church is needing re-surrender, because I think we live in a life that is very comfortable in comparison to maybe other churches in the world. And we can get caught up in the comfort and the ease of routine, of life, of church. But this whole idea of, and we're going to go into this thing of, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to re-surrender again, Jesus. As your church, as your son, as your daughter, we're going to sing this song and we're going to say, actually, when we're talking about all these spiritual gifts, I'm going to lay down my life again to say, use me. Use me. Not just for the benefit of me, for the benefit of His church, for the benefit of our community, for the benefit of actually seeing people encounter God and see revival. We all have something to do. It is all of our right and responsibility to take up our cross and to actually do something. And I say that with all the love in the world. But I think sometimes we need to have that readjustment, that little chiropractic adjustment to say, what are we actually doing? What are we doing with our life? What are we doing with our days? What have you done this week? And maybe some of you have seen miracles, seen God encounters, seen amazing things. But maybe some of us get to Sunday and we go, oh, I forgot. I saw that sick person and I didn't pray for them. I felt like the Holy Spirit prompted me to reach out to that person and I didn't do it. We need to re-surrender. We need to relay down our lives and say, Jesus, we offer up ourselves to you as a living sacrifice to serve, to minister, to be your hands and feet. Because I tell you what, Celebration Church, if we don't do it, it's going to bypass us and it's going to go to the next generation. And it'll be my son. And it'll be Bubba Jack that was up here. And I don't want that to happen. And we have an incredible church family. We have incredible people. But in talking about our spiritual gifts, What are we doing with them? And Pastor Benaiah said it last week. It's almost like, you know, you are without excuse now. Yeah? When we know what's on our life, if you've done that test, if you've been sitting in these services and something sparked inside of you and you're like, oh, I feel like that's on my life, you are now without excuse to use it. To use it for His glory, to use it for people to encounter Jesus, His love, His truth. But let's not ever be a Christian that thinks that it is just for us and that we're okay just to come to a church that is kind of full, kind of not, and that this is it. That's good enough. I challenge us, Celebration Church, and I think that it's my responsibility too. We have a whole city. A whole city. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people that don't yet know Jesus. They don't know His truth. They don't know His freedom. They don't know His love. They don't know His forgiveness. They don't know His wholeness. They don't know that they're called to be sons and daughters. And that's on us. We are His hands and feet. We are His sons and His daughters. We are the ones who are sitting inside of a building, worshiping and raising up our hands. That's on us. So your spiritual gifts, what are you going to do with them? What are we going to do? Because it's no point in us doing this series if it amounts to just nothing. No change, no movement. We're trying to empower you to say, this is what's in your hands. Go and use, go and do, go and build. Go and let people encounter Jesus through what you've got to give. And every single one of you has something to give. And it doesn't matter your age. You are not past your use by date. It doesn't matter if you feel old in this room or too young in this room. It's on you. Every single person. Every single person. So why don't we stand to our feet? And I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to go back into this song. And let's just re-surrender again. Resurrender our hearts, resurrender our lives, and resurrender our gifts, our spiritual gifts to go, God, use us. Use us. Let us be your hands and your feet. So, Father God, I thank you that you're gracious. I thank you that you're kind. And I thank you, Father, that you want to use us, that you want to move through us, that you want us to be your hands and your feet. And Holy Spirit, we just bring our gifts before you. These spiritual gifts, which we've gone through, God, we bring them before you. We bring our lives before you, King Jesus. And we say, come and have your way. Come and have your way in our hearts. Come and have your way in our families. Come and have your way in our situations, in our workplaces, God. We just surrender ourselves afresh to you. We surrender and we lay down our lives to you again to just say, come and use us, God. Come and use us, God. Give us prompting and direction and wisdom with the people in our world that need you, that need the encounter with you. God, I ask that we see our world and our city the way that you see it. God, I ask that you lift any veil, any filter from our eyes of familiarity when it comes to our city, when it comes to the brokenness in our city, when it comes to our workplaces, the people that we work with, our families, God. That you'll lift the veil of the way that we see them and that we see them through your eyes. We see them through your eyes. And God, we just say afresh, we resurrender. We resurrender. We're coming back to you again, God. We're laying ourselves at the altar. We're saying consume and burn and get rid of anything that is not of you. And may we just be left with who you are and what you have for us, God. We lay ourselves on the altar again, King Jesus. We say, consume us, consume us. Let's worship, church. Let's sing this song. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.